Let me move on, finally, to what we are going to talk about today, because I think Pastor Mike started off by talking about I Love the Church, a great series that has been put together like this for all of us. And the last 2 weekends, Pastor Chris carried on further, okay, about talking about love for the church. And you and I, friends, right, it's so important to love the church, isn't it? Because sometimes, friends, the danger is we don't speak well about the church. But we've forgotten, friends, you know what? The church is the body of Christ. Isn't it? The church is the body of Christ. The church is the body that Jesus Christ died for, okay? And if the church is the body that Jesus Christ died for to form, when we speak, okay, against the church, when we don't speak well of the church, we are not speaking well of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it is so important, isn't it? Yes, there are wrongs, there are abuses, okay, in the church of Jesus Christ. You will never find a perfect church. But if you found one, please, for goodness sake, don't join it, because you're going to spoil it. Amen, isn't it? And so it's very, very important for you and I to understand what it is for you, for all of us, therefore, in this regard. But then we're going to read scripture first before I talk about ending this series on celebrating Christ, celebrating Jesus, okay? Shall we stand together? Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 to 22, right? Together from the Word of God, in honor and respect to the Word of God. Why? Because we're making a public proclamation of the Word of God. We're establishing the truth of God's Word on earth as it is heaven. Third and finally, faith comes from hearing, and hearing the Word of God. That's what we read aloud together, to build faith in all of us together. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as a chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Our Father, we thank and praise you again for your word, O God, your amazing word that has brought liberty, O God, to all of us, and freedom and joy that we can celebrate in. And now, Father, you, by your Spirit, who has inspired this word thousands of years ago, will take this word and speak to each one of us and cause us to respond to you, Father, we pray. In Jesus' wonderful name, God's people say, amen, amen. Would you take your seats? Amen. Friends, you know, as we celebrate Jesus in the life of the church, it is so important that the church is about Jesus, really. It is about nothing else, no one else but our Jesus and Saint Jesus alone. Why is this the case? Because, friends, right, he is the cornerstone of the church, or the chief cornerstone, as we read in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. Why do we read together? Because it is always good to read the Word of God again and again. And can you get a good amen for that, isn't it? All right? We can never and should never be tired of reading the Word of God aloud, isn't it? Together, okay? Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. You see, friends, we are told here we are fellow citizens with God's people. Meaning, friends, in this case, we are now part of God's kingdom, as citizens of a kingdom, isn't it, of God, that we are part of God's kingdom in this regard. Not only, friends, we are part of God's kingdom as fellow citizens, but also we belong to God's household. Not only we are part of God's kingdom, we are also part of God's family, God's household. But all of these, friends, is built on a foundation. The foundation is the Lord Jesus Christ, who is a chief cornerstone. All right? This is on him and him alone that we build. So, friends, you know, the church of Jesus Christ is built on him. All right? Not on anyone else. Not only that, friends, it is so important to make sure that we must build around him as well. That you and I, friends, must build the church of Jesus Christ, okay, on him, but also build everything around him. Our work, our ministry of the kingdom must be built around him. So verse 22, Ephesians 2, tells us this. Again, let's read together. And in him, you two have been built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. We have been built together in him, isn't it? So that God can dwell in our midst by his Holy Spirit. So therefore, it is in Christ and around Christ that you and I must build our lives, our work, our ministry, and everything else in the life of the church. You know, friends, sometimes it's sad to see people building the church around himself, around herself, or build a Christian organization around himself, around herself, or build a ministry around himself, around herself. It is painful sometimes for me to see that, actually, that when we build around ourselves, no matter how good and gifted and charismatic we are, What happens when we leave, when we retire, when we move on? The work ministry falls apart, isn't it? Why? Because we have not learned to build people to lean on Jesus, to build around Jesus. They are so dependent upon us so that when we leave, it just falls apart like this, isn't it? And sometimes we build a ministry around us so that when we leave, the ministry falls apart. And sadly, I have to say, it has happened here in UMC. That when we build ministry around us, no matter how good, how clever, how smart, how gifted we are, when we leave, the whole thing just falls apart. It's a real tragedy, friends, and you and I must be reminded, isn't it? Everything we build must be built on Jesus and around Jesus, and all God's people say. That's what it is, friends. We need to be reminded again and again as we move to another season in the life of the church. As we know, for those of us so-called, we are so-called the senior elders serving the church. In fact, by the end of December, it will be 38 years where we are serving together on the eldership of the church. Friends, you know, we must constantly be reminded again and again, the church of Jesus Christ is about Christ. The church of Jesus is on Christ. The church of Jesus must be built around Christ in anything, everything that we do. Amen. So that we always make sure we make people depend upon Jesus, because when they depend upon Jesus, it does not matter whether we're around or not around, isn't it? It does not matter at all, isn't it? Some of you said to me just now, Pastor, we have not seen you for a long, long time. You know, what happened to you? I said, I have backslided a little bit. Would you please pray for me, okay? So that I'll be around UMC a bit more. Okay, but friends, I said, sorry, you know, because I've been preaching around the country, around the world. That's the reason if you don't see me, it means I'm somewhere, hopefully in the right place, isn't it? All right, but if you pray for me, I'll be safe. No, amen. Okay, not encouraging. If you pray for me, I'll be safe. Okay? If I'm not safe, it means you haven't prayed enough. Hello, isn't it? But friends, you know, that's what it is for all of us that we know, isn't it? That I'm so conscious about, that whatever season of our life we are in, we must make sure our work, our ministry, okay, the work of the kingdom, the work of the church is built around Christ, so that whether I'm there or not, that does not matter at all. Amen, isn't it? And that's what we're constantly pushing you, to depend upon Jesus, to look to Jesus, to be built upon Jesus in our life, so that the foundation is in Christ and Christ alone, and His Word, isn't it, to lead and to guide us along, all right, in living for the Lord Jesus Christ like this. Not only that, friends, we must lift up Jesus as the holy temple of God. Why? Because we are the holy temple of God, as this passage of Scripture, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 21. Let's read together. In Him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. All right? It rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. Now, friends, the temple is not a building, although in the Old Testament, it is a building. Right, but when you come to the New Testament, it's a different imagery altogether, different understanding altogether. Like, for example, the Bible tells you and I that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Every one of us, you know that? The Holy Spirit dwells in each one of us, and our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Our body is where the Spirit of God dwells, and therefore we become individually a temple of God. But together, we become the temple of God, and all God's people say, isn't it? And so as a temple of God, what is a temple for? What is the purpose of the temple? Temple, as we know, is for worship, isn't it? It's for worship. And so, friends, that's why when we gather together as a temple of God, our purpose here is to give praise and worship to God, isn't it? Our purpose is to glorify Him. Friends, when we glorify Him, what happens? When we honor Jesus and lift up Jesus, what happens? Listen to the words of Jesus. John chapter 12, okay, and in verse 32. Let's read together. But I, when I'm lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. But I, when I'm lifted up, you see, friends, when Jesus is lifted up, He will draw all men, women, youth, and children to Himself. That's a reality again and again, friends, when we lift up Jesus. And that's the reason why, friends, don't miss worship. And okay, it's in the life of the church, come on time, even come ahead of time, prepare ourselves for the worship of the living God corporately, isn't it? There is power in worship. There is amazing grace in worship. There's a presence of God in worship. People have come, have testified how just through worship and lift up the name of Jesus, they are touched by God. Give them one example. This man accompanied the children after his retirement to come to church in UMC. You know what? Just a Sunday there, he was in tears. He was crying and crying loudly. First time, not a Christian. As he was walking out from church, he was so upset. Actually, he told Dr. Ling, I don't want to come to your church anymore. You all make me cry one. I said, Uncle, we didn't make you cry. You cry yourself. Several months later, he came again. And not only he cried, he fell down under so-called the power of the Holy Spirit some more. Oh, he was fuming mad and cried, storm out of the church, refused to come anymore. The third time, this time he came and joined the kids to the UMC church camp. Boom, he fell down again in the power of God. Why? Because he is very sensitive to the Holy Spirit, although not a Christian. Why is this? Because he was the chairman of one of the largest Buddhist temples in the Klang Valley. The main person there, helping to build the temple and everything else. He has friends, you know, walk on burning coal. He has put his hand to boiling oil. He has sat on chairs with sharp nails. He has done all that. But friends, after encountering God in Jesus Christ, he knew where the true power is. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. Friends, his testimony is found in this book that was written, all right, a book of mine, as it were. All right, okay, read his testimony, Uncle Marcus Wong, right, who is actually here this morning. Uncle Marcus is now more than 80 years old, coming to close to 90 years old today. All right, he's been with us for more than 20 years now, friends. Read his, it will so inspire and challenge you in a wonderful manner for all of you. This book is available in the bookshop for purchase, not free of charge. Hello, okay, but it will really bless you, okay, by his testimony. His honest testimony that when we went to his house to try to share with him, encourage, challenge him, he rebuked us, he was so upset with us. But God has his own ways of dealing with him. All right, very importantly, isn't it? And I remember in his house when we do house cleansing after he accepted the Lord, I told him, I looked at a nice plaque on the wall. I said, that plaque must go. He said, why? So nice, so expensive some more, a pewter plaque. Why? Because it was given to him in honor as a chairman of the Buddhist temple. Hey, mana bole, you know, now that you're Christian, that one must go, like, not very good, isn't it? All right, well, tam tung, heart sick, and the pastor, you give it up, now man, I give it, it's okay. It is like this guy went to do his house cleansing, he bought a big, huge statue of Buddha, that height, you know, all right, real solid wood that he transported back from China. Okay, and I told him, that one must go. Really, pastor, can I sell it or give the money to the church? Forget about it. We're church want this kind of money, okay? No, that must go. Okay, you got a saw. So he got a saw for me, okay? All right, as I was going to saw, he walked to the back. Why? Because he can't tahan sing. But my goodness, it's after I saw it and saw it, you know, and after I found it so difficult, I was struggling like crazy. At the end, I called him and said, you know, you better invest, okay, electric saw for us all to saw this kind of stuff. You know, pastor, it's really solid wood and really heavy. You know what? As I saw through, it was cement inside. Chinese very clever to make money. Pastor, I paid so much money. I said, you're deceived, my friends. You know, like this, isn't it? All right? It's so important is to get our lives right. And this God is good. And this brother and the wife have been serving the Lord here in UMC. All God's people say, our God is a good God. Amen? Give a clap offering to Jesus. Amen? All right? That's what he wants to do in all our hearts and our lives. And that's so important, isn't it? When we lift up Jesus, he will draw people to himself. If I just a quick testimony. Yesterday, at the end of the celebration, this lady walked up. Pastor, pray for me. Pray for me. Pastor, why? Because I'm 63 years old. You just say, time moved by very fast. Time moved by very fast. I'm 63. Kiasu, kiasi, you know, my goodness. Okay, please pray for me. Okay, what do you do? What do you ask? I'm a dean of a faculty of a university here. Wow, my goodness. Let me pray for you. Okay, like this. Say, Pastor, you know what? She's just new to UMC. Say, every time I come to UMC, I was always tearing away. Always in tears. Pastor, do you put pepper as well as vinegar up in the atmosphere? I was going to slap her nicely, okay? I said, you cry yourself. Why? Because it is this. When we lift up Jesus, he will draw people to himself. Amen? You'll be touched by God. Will you give a clap offering to Jesus? That's what Jesus would do. Why? Because, friends, when we come, we encounter God. When we come, we experience his presence. We will recognize his power. And, friends, can I say, people are healed just during worship. Not for prayer time, not ministry time, just during worship. My goodness, something has happened to me. And that's the power of God at work, friends. That's why it, friends, confirms the words of Jesus. But I, when I'm lifted up, I will draw all people to myself. And we rejoice, right? Because the church is about Jesus Christ. And all God's people say, no, the church is about Jesus Christ. You and I must make sure the church is also about purity and Jesus' power. There's the purity that Jesus brings to the church, but also the power as well. In what way Jesus brings purity to the church? All right, Jesus loved the church by sacrificing himself to make the church pure, really, isn't it? And this is what we read of Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 to 27. Come, let's read together. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. What did Jesus Christ come for? Jesus Christ comes for the church, all right? Sacrificing himself, dying on the cross to purchase, all right, through his precious blood on the cross and a huge, all right, huge price that he paid for with his own life, in order he may form the church, in order he may present the church holy, spotless, and blameless to himself, in order the church, friends, will be pure. And that's why, friends, can I say, the church emphasizes strongly on moral standards, on right living. And also sometimes it pains our heart when we see people not walking right with God, not walking right with the Word of God. It grieves us, friends, sometimes to see people disobeying the Word of God and the things of God. And that's why, friends, when the church walks right, when the church do things that are right and accordance with the Word of God, the church will be blessed. And we ourselves, when we honor God, we ourselves will be blessed. And all God's people say. And that's why Pastor Chris said it correctly. Jesus Christ did not come to make us happy. He came to make us holy. And all the holy people here say? Okay, not a lot of holy people. And all the holy people here say? What is holiness? It is not just we carry a halo around our head and walk around that we are holy. The word holy simply means we've been separated from sin and now set apart from God. Separated from sin. That's why Jesus has come, to separate us from sin as we acknowledge our sin before Jesus. And now we are set apart for God to serve him and the purpose of his kingdom. That's what holiness is. But not only holiness is not only a state, it is also a process where we grow in increasing holiness, friends. So Jesus did not come to make us happy. He comes to make us holy, friends. Friends, can I say, happiness is a product of holiness. Let me repeat, if you don't get it, and this is so profound, I think. Happiness is a product of holiness. If you live a holy life, I guarantee you, increasingly, it will be a happy life. But if you live an unholy life, I guarantee you, you will live a miserable life. Why is this the case? Because you and I know, isn't it? When we're compromised, when we do things that are wrong, deep in our heart, there is no peace. There is no joy. In fact, there is guilt. And we try to cover up. We try to pretend as it is not there. And sometimes we even think nobody sees, nobody knows. But friends, we've forgotten. God sees and God knows. Hello? He sees everything. He knows everything. So we're deceiving ourselves to think that nobody sees, nobody, so it's okay, I can do whatever I want. Friends, self-deception is the worst kind of deception. And sometimes, friends, can I say, sadly, there are many self-deceived people, even amongst Christians. And so, church, can I say, happiness is a product of holiness. But when there's unholy life, we will never live happy lives. And it can just be seen, just by looking at the face, you and I can tell whether the person is a holy person or not, and all the holy people say. It's because just by looking at you, I can tell whether you're a holy person. Why? Because if there's no happiness in you, it means you're not holy. Right or not? Because I've just said, happiness is a product of holiness. So if I look at you, there's no happiness, no joy at all, it means, my friend, okay, you are deeply, there's a deep need to grow in greater holiness. Because as we grow in holiness, God will begin to build in us. Because when there's holiness, there is a peace and contentment and joy in the Lord like this. And that's what God wants to bring for all of us like this. And so, friends, you know, the Church of Jesus Christ is concerned and burdened of moral standards. And we need to walk right before the Lord. And so when the church is pure, the church becomes powerful. Amen, isn't it? And that's why a minister of the government, in fact, he was at that time, all right, minister in the Prime Minister Department, he came to UMC. I took him around, show him this place. He said to me, Pastor, actually, I'm a Buddhist, but I'm really very impressed by what I see, what I hear, you say. Really impressed. This place is amazing. I said, you know what, Tan Sri? I can line up a few thousand people here, and every person has a powerful testimony to say to you how their lives have been changed and transformed in a wonderful, wonderful manner. All God's people agree, say. Isn't every one of us a fantastic testimony what God has done in our lives? Why? Because Jesus Christ brings us into the journey of increasing holiness and purity in him, isn't it? And that's what we are, friends, and that's why we can change the world, because only transformed people can transform the world. Amen, isn't it? That's very important for all of us. Not only that, friends, we find Jesus unleashes his power in building his church. All right, and so Matthew chapter 16 and in verse 18, okay, let's read together. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. This is what Jesus says to Peter. Yes, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. The church of Jesus Christ, I'll be involved in building, and the gates of Hades, the gates of hell, can never prevail against it. Friends, Jesus Christ releases his power into the church. Why? Because he himself is involved in building the church, and if Jesus is involved in building the church, nobody can stop him. Hello, are you there? That's why the church is unstoppable. Unstoppable for all of us. Let me read to you an account here in this book by Bill Wilson. Whose child is this? He was just here several weeks ago to preach to us. If you have not got this, bought this book, go and get it, friends. It will bless you. Because it's a testament of his life. How at the age of 12, he was abandoned by his mother. The mother, an alcoholic, father's, okay, said irresponsible, divorced the mother many years earlier. All right, and the mother has to bring him up as the alcoholic. One day took him by the roadside, left him there on the pavement, and told him, would you just please wait here? You know what? The mother never returned. Waited for one day, waited for 2 days, waited for 3 days. My goodness, what am I? Who am I? Why am I here? Hungry, thirsty, no money, no nothing. On the third day, a man came along. Son, are you okay? Gave him food. And then, amazingly, sent him to a Christian youth camp. He got saved, changed and transformed. Today, friends, Bill Wilson is one of the world changers for Jesus Christ around the world. He's got a Sunday school that's got 183,000, not just in New York City, but all across the world that he has started, friends. Okay, let me read to you an account that he shares with us in this book. Read it, get hold of it, friends. It will really challenge you, bless your heart, as to how one life can make a radical, enormous difference in the lives of so many, many like this. You see, what happens was, there were two children who had been coming to what he calls as a sidewalk Sunday school. You see, besides his main center, whereby he get over 20,000 kids coming, all right, to his Sunday school, what he also established so-called sidewalk Sunday school, which is that he will renovate, okay, he will remodel these vans or buses so that it can open up on the side, okay, and then they will start the Sunday school like this with loudspeakers and everything else, and then they'll fold back, okay, the thing, and travel and go back, and everybody will come around to different spots of New York City to do sidewalk Sunday school. And so there were these two children, the girl 7 years old and the brother about 5 or 6 years old. They've been coming to the sidewalk and really enjoy themselves. One day the two teachers helping with the sidewalk discovered they were not present, wondering what has happened. They've been so regular. What has happened? And so within a few days, they went down knocking at the door because they've gone down visiting, okay, these two children before. And that's what, friends, can I say? Bill Wilson teaches this and enforces this for every Sunday school teacher of his. Must every week go for visitation to visit the children who come to us. Every week, imagine, friends, he says there are 50,000 visitations every week to all his teachers and helpers like this. And so these two teachers went to the home, knocked at the door. No reply. Knock again harder, no reply. Why? Because they could hear television set inside running. Knock harder, no reply. Went to the neighbors and asked, you know what happened to this family? They have no idea. Came back, knock harder. And then that's where the stench came up, the smell came up of rotting body, rotting flesh. They called the police. The police came. And the police decided finally to break down the door. And they walked in, they saw a woman lying there with her throat slit open, dead, the mother of these two children. The two girls went in, right in the presence of the police, stepped over the body of the mother because the two kids were sitting on the couch watching television. The last 1 week, because the mother stayed for a week, just watching television. Friends, they finished all the food that is in the apartment. And the older girl was just tearing out just a cereal box of a cereal. Okay? Just a paper, just paper, all right, of the cereal box. Tearing it up and feeding each other. That was what was happening at that point of time. And let me read to you A week later, after the incident, the police called up Pastor Bill Wilson and said, "We have examined the body, done all the autopsy, whatever. There is no marks on her body. Therefore, we cannot establish who has murdered her." But then the police officer said, "I did not call you for that purpose. That was not why I called you." And let me read the account that Pastor Bill Wilson records this for us here in this wonderful, wonderful book. Okay? And he says this. The police officer said to him, "I talked to one of my officers who answered a call to respond to this emergency call from your two lady workers. He explained that after the emergency service knocked down the door, they allowed your ministry workers to enter. He told me they stepped over the dead mother and sat on the couch with the children. Your workers put their arms around the kids and held them. They took care of them. In all my years of service, I have never seen that happen. To be honest with you, I have seen your metro ministry buses and trucks around the Bronx area and never really paid much attention to your organization." The detective went on to say, "I still don't know exactly what you do, but on behalf of the New York City Police Department, whatever it is you are doing, I want to encourage you to keep doing it because it looks like it is making a difference. Because it looks like it is making a difference." Even the police recognize about their work, even though they don't fully understand. Keep on doing it because it is really making a difference. My friends, this is what the Church of Jesus Christ says, that Jesus is involved in building his church. He unleashes his power through his people, and his people take the good news of Christ into the world like this to make a mark and make a difference, all God's people say. And that's what it is, friends. No force, no obstruction can hold back the Church of Jesus Christ. In Iran today, for example, I thought there's been about 1 million people have turned to faith in Jesus Christ. The latest video I got, 3 million have turned to faith in Christ. And friends, you know, if you know what Iran is, it is never easy. Not only believers are persecuted, they're imprisoned, they're tortured like crazy. But in spite of that, friends, the church grows and continues to grow. Why? Because the Church of Jesus Christ is built by Jesus himself, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And all God's people say, all right, the church here in Malaysia is growing, although we wish it will grow faster. Hello? The church here is growing, although we all wish it will grow faster. Hello? No, amen. Say to your neighbor, "Pastor, talking about you. Have you led anyone to Christ or not? Okay, since the start of the year." Isn't it? It should grow faster, really, really. Friends, the place where the church is growing the fastest because Jesus Christ is building his church is in China today. There are easily 100 million Christians in China. And friends, you know, when people in China say they're Christians, it means they're real Christians. Oh, amen? In the West, you're not sure, isn't it? But in China, you can be very sure. When I say they're Christian, they are really Christians. And there's a price that sometimes they have to pay. It is not easy for some of these, but they press on, friends. They press on to fulfill God's purpose and design for them. And they're so responsive and hungry. You know why? And that's a good thing in that sense that communism does for China. Because communism has caused all the gods to be thrown aside now. Therefore, it creates what emptiness in the hearts. Why? Because human beings are spiritual at the heart of it and material only accidentally. Hello, are you there? We are at the heart of it, spiritual beings, with just a material body accidentally. All right? And so, friends, you know what happens? We are spiritual beings at the heart of it, and spiritual beings can only be satisfied by God himself. Isn't it? Anything else will never satisfy us. That's why some of us pursue career, pursue cash, pursue everything else except pursuing this God. That's why you'll never, never be happy at all in life. You'll never discover the meaning and purpose of a life and living, isn't it? In fact, just now, outside at a concourse before, that's why I came late a little bit for worship, because I was sharing with this gentleman about identity of life. He's still working. Praise God for this, healthy and strong. I said, you'll never know who you are until you know who he is. Because to know who you are, you must know who he is. And very, very important, okay? He said, "Pastor, give me time. I need to think about that, okay?" I said, "Accept Jesus now, now. Don't waste time one now, okay? You are in your 60s already. Bloop." Friends, you know, time passes by very fast. Hello, are you there? In our 20s, we think about certain things. In our 30s, we think of certain things. Every decade, friends, can I say, the things we think about, the focus, attention put on changes. But friends, can I say, once in your 50s, once when you're 50s, you don't sort things out. The 60s passes by, zip like that, and it's gone by. If you don't sort things out by your 50s, your 60s will zip by very fast. Before you realize it, you are 70 years old. I'm almost there. And Dr. Ling also almost there. God bless you. Okay, Pastor Key also almost there. It's scary to think that I'm almost 70 years old. But friends, it's a reality, isn't it? Friends, you find once you go past 50, zim, 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 time passed by unusually fast, and all those who agree say, oh, young people say, amen, God bless you. I like that. This is a great church to preach in. I'm so inspired, okay, by all that you say. And it's a fact of life. All right. That's why this lady came up, as I said just now, this lady came up to ask me for prayer. Pastor, now, you know, please pray for me. Because just now you say, you know, time passed very fast. And passed, when you're 50s, you don't sort of walk out, okay, boom, zip, right? By the time you realize it, friends, you're into your more than 60, you're into your 70s already. Say, please pray. I'm 63. Oh, my goodness, I'm frightened. You almost frightened me to death. I said, no, frightened you to heaven, not to death. Okay. Sometimes we all need to be frightened a little bit. Hello? Are you there, isn't it? Because if we don't sort out, it moves faster than you realize. And that's why, church, can I say, when you and I got a chance to serve God, don't miss a huge honor and privilege. Don't miss a huge honor and privilege like Dr. Ling and Helen, amazing, wise people, friends who gave their lives, their hearts to serve God and God's people. And church, can I say, when you serve, you look back with gratitude and thanksgiving that God can use you, an ordinary person, and turn you to someone extraordinary to serve God and His kingdom, to touch hearts and change lives. Amen? And if you don't serve, you missed it, you wasted it, you squandered it, my friends. But sometimes we look back, for some of us, what have I done in my 30s, in my 40s, in my 50s, and some in our 60s? What have I done? Nothing very much for the kingdom, my friends. Go for it, my friends. Don't waste and squander it all. One life to live. Soon it will be past. Whatever is done for Christ will forever last. My friends, go for it. Only what is done in Christ will last. Everything else will just be vapor that will evaporate. And that's all that is about life and living, tragically. And that's what I say to those from DMC here who has moved to Singapore. I challenge them. My friends, start a church in Singapore. There will never be enough churches. Pastor, they sue me. Forget about it. There will never be enough churches in Singapore, anywhere in the world for that matter. Why is this the case? What's the percentage of Christians in Singapore? At most 25%. Isn't it? At most 25%. There is 75% more people to touch for Jesus Christ. Isn't it? 75% more, three quarters of the population yet to come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And so start a church now. Okay, start Dream Center Singapore. I will come down with you to kickstart Dream Center Singapore. Where, how do you start? Start a cell group first, meet in your apartment. When the apartment becomes too small because of the growth, then look for whoever has a bigger apartment. That's why God has blessed a bigger apartment to be used, lah, isn't it? Free of charge, of course. Okay, and move from apartment to apartment until we cannot find a bigger place, then let's rent a place. Find a place to rent, isn't it? And usually this, I say, if you don't start a church, I tell you this, you'll be one of the 6 million automatons walking the streets of Singapore. And if you write a story about your life, nobody wants to read because it's so ordinary. Now we write about DUMC, at least for some people to read, at least here in DUMC, amen? Life is like this, all right? Because we like to settle into comfort, all right, and convenience, not willing to pay the price and the cost. Start a church is hard work. But I guarantee you, friends, it will be exciting. It will be exhilarating. And then one day, you got a story to write about the life of DMC. And all God's people say, isn't it? And so important, friends, it is a church of Jesus Christ that will outlast all of us. So we want to leave a legacy behind. You want something to go way beyond a lifetime. Start a church. Because the church will carry on forever and until Jesus Christ returns, isn't it? And that's what it is, friends, that you and I celebrate in. Okay, and that's why, friends, the church is unstoppable. Why? Because Jesus is involved at the heart of it. Let me move on very quickly. I've got 8.5 minutes. I don't know how I'm going to finish it. Can you be patient with me, Ken, or not? Because I've got so many things to say because you're so good people. Hello, is it? The church must take her character, message, and power into the world. All right? In what manner and form? Okay? Friends, as we celebrate Jesus, as we rejoice in Jesus here, as we honor and glorify Christ, friends, don't keep it to ourselves. And all God's people say, it said, never keep things to ourselves when it's so good, incredibly good about knowing Jesus. Take it to the world, isn't it? Because it is irresponsible, friends, to keep Jesus here to ourselves and just to do MC like this, or for that matter, any church, isn't it? Take it out into the world. So the church, friends, must take her character, her message, up to the world. In what manner? Firstly, a character of holiness, humility. Nobody can object. Just by our character of holiness, humility, why? We are supposed to be holy people. We are supposed to be people in a process of growing, increasing purity and holiness and humility. And friends, when you carry that into the world, nobody can object. Nobody can say no to it. One of the epitomes of holiness and humility is Mother Teresa, that we all know and recognize. Not just that, the whole world knows and recognizes Mother Teresa. She is the epitome of holiness, humility. Wherever she goes, what happens? Nobody can object. Nobody can stop. Nobody can resist. She just carries the aura of the presence of God. And that's what holiness, humility is. That's why she's so impactful wherever she goes. But friends, before that takes place, it is a whole life of servanthood, a whole life of sowing into the needy and the dying of the world. It is only out of that God grows in you, holiness, humility. And all God's people say, reach out to serve, my friends. It will make a mark and an incredible, wonderful difference like this. Not only that, it is a message of salvation and hope nobody can offer. Really. You and I, friends, that's that one message. You and I have that one message that the world needs. No one can offer. Message of salvation, message of hope to the whole world. And you and I must offer this to the world, because why? People who are struggling, they are looking for hope, for help, and for the future. And you and I have that one thing, friends, that will make a mark and a difference. Give an example. I might have shared this before, but it's such a good example. If I shared before, let me repeat. I was down in Singapore for a meeting. Next day, check out from the hotel. Within a minute, a taxi came round to the hotel. Hop into the hotel. I said, taxi driver, could you please take me to Changi Airport? Yes, sir. If you know me well, I waste no time. Excuse me. Thank you so much, sir, for taking me to the airport. Really appreciate it. What's your name, by the way? Nur Hisham. So good of me to know Hisham. Really appreciate you. Nur Hisham. Taking me to the airport. First time meeting a Malay Muslim taxi driver. Nur Hisham, my name is Daniel Ho. I'm a pastor from Malaysia. You're very special that out of 7 billion people, God has taken a pastor to sit in your taxi. All right? And God has sent me to let you know He knows you, He remembers you, and He loves you. The moment I said that, He said, my goodness, my hair is standing on ends. This is unbelievable. Wow. You know what, friends? Without me saying any further, He just went on to say this. You know, sir, you know what? Actually, I've got a wife who is blind. And she's also diabetic. 3 times a week, I have to take her to hospital for dialysis treatment. That's why I work as a taxi driver, to give me the freedom and the flexibility to take my wife to the hospital. But also, I've got a son who is 9 years old. And my son will call me on and off and say to me, Dad, can you please come home? Because I'm lonely. Say, that's really heartbreaking for me. Really heartbreaking, why? Because I have to tell my son's son, Dad cannot come home. Dad has to work to bring in the money to support you and support mom. But you pity the boy. Well, because the mother is blind. The mother could not help in any way whatsoever. And this poor boy left alone by himself like this, much of the time. And then friends, without me saying any further, a single word further, he just went on. He said, sir, you know what? I think I'm paying for the sins of my past. He said, you know what, sir? When I was a teenager, I got involved in drugs and in crime. And so I was in and out of Singapore prison regularly. I think, sir, you know what? I'm paying for the sins of my past. I said to him, no, Hisham, sometimes we do make mistakes in the past. But you know what, no, Hisham? God has sent me to let you know He loves you, He remembers you. And no, Hisham, I want to say to you, there's a hope and a future. There's help, there's hope, and there's a future. You know, friends, for the rest of the taxi ride to the airport, I shared with him Jesus all the way. And then finally, I challenged him. No, Hisham, maybe God has told me, come to Jesus. He will make the radical change and the transformation. Would you like to accept Christ? He said, yes. I said, fantastic, No, Hisham. No, Hisham, you know what? I'm in a rush for time. The moment I arrive at the airport, PU, or at the taxi fare, I dash off to catch a flight so that I don't miss my flight. And so, No, Hisham, I want to pray for you now. Is it okay? He said, yes, okay. Explain how to accept Jesus, the four steps involved. Now, I want you to pray with me, okay? Sentence by sentence aloud, okay? Sentence, as you drive, you pray. Can you multitask or not? He said, can. Wow, clever Singaporeans, all can multitask. I said, great. Okay, you can multitask. Okay, fall out. But one more thing, very important, Nohisha. One more thing. For goodness sake, when you pray, keep your eyes open, okay? Keep your eyes open. Otherwise, you'll be dead and I'll be dead, all right? Okay. Let him. When I paid him the money after arriving, before I could dash off, you know what he said to me? I grabbed my bag, wanted to run off. He said, sir, I have never met a passenger like you in my whole life. Sir, I have never met a passenger like you in my whole life. Church, can I say, there are many, many looking for help, for hope, and for the future. You and I have this message of salvation to a lost world. Let's be in there to make a difference. And all God's people say, the power of Christ, nobody can resist. Not a fantastic message that no one else can offer. Nothing else can offer. But it's also the power of Jesus that is available that will change and transform the world for Jesus Christ. And let me read to you here this article from Christianity Today, one of the leading Christian magazines in the world, all right, in the June issue this year. There's a feature on Cambodia. We just prayed for Cambodia. There is a feature on the front cover in Cambodia, right, about how the church is growing and thriving in the midst, okay, of so-called seemingly a communist system like this. And amazing, as you know, we've got great work in Cambodia. We rejoice and celebrate our missionaries, our workers, and many, many teams that are going, and this team that's going right in a week and a half's time. We thank God for all of you going, investing your life there, friends. We thank God, right, for the freedom we still enjoy to this very day, that radical change and transformation. But what I'm going to focus on is this, friends, the sex traffic trade. How many of you have walked around, seen, okay, that area whereby all the brothels are in a whole row of almost a kilometer long by the side of the river? How many of you have been? Yeah. It pains your heart. It grieves you. Girls as young as 12 years old, 13 years old are sold off, friends, by the parents just for money. What an absolute shame. Let me read to you. A Christian ministry went in there in 2003, International Justice Mission, to try to expose the sex slave trade and that kind of thing. All right? And they engaged, all right, a local Cambodian who is doing a law degree, training to be a lawyer, a Buddhist, all right, asking him to help to investigate and spy out all these places and all the people involved and who are they, what are they. And you know, friends, here this man, sick, involved in doing, right, in a surreptitious manner to try to discover and find out where they are, who they are. And finally, friends, sick himself came to faith in Jesus Christ. But because of the sake of time, let me move on to read the last bit of what Francis Magazine featured about. Read it will really bless and challenge your heart. At the end, let me read what it says here. By a Buddhist government official, okay, this is what he says here, to all of us. All right, she says, once we have solved one problem, the perpetrators will create two or three more problems, said Her Excellency Chow Ban Ing, Vice Chair of the Government's National Committee for Counter-Trafficking. Exploitation proves to be an ongoing fight and another enduring test of patience for Cambodians, but she trusts Christians will continue to stay involved. We found they are very committed by assisting vulnerable people, the Buddhist official said in her government office. They work by faith. Several government and police officials, non-Christians themselves, have credited Christian organizations with prompting their recent anti-trafficking progress. While government and NGO leaders think about the next front for trafficking, churches, people like Chandra Chapmai, keeps her focus on setting what is next for the 24 girls under her charge as a Christian, seeking to bring deliverance to them and hope and help in the future for them. Friends, Christian ministry, the Church of Jesus Christ, making a radical difference here in the nation of Cambodia that Buddhists recognize no one can resist, no one can stop. You and I, friends, are here in Malaysia for that purpose, and all God's people say, how do we go about doing it? Very quickly now, finally. How do we go about doing it? Let me take it down to the lowest denominator about your life and my life. How can we make a difference with people around us? our colleagues, our friends, our neighbors, our classmates in school, college, university? How can we make a difference among these people? Friends, some of us have the joy and the privilege of meeting non-Christians every day of your life from Monday to Friday, isn't it? Every day of life from Monday to Friday, you got a chance to meet non-Christians in a place of work, responsibility, whatever else. Isn't it? I wish I would go back to the workplace, marketplace again. So it gives me a chance to meet non-Christians. I've got so few non-Christian friends that I look for kacang putih seller, lottery ticket seller, ice kacang seller, and ice cream seller. Okay, like that. Don't try to follow me. Go look for all the lottery ticket sellers. Go for your colleagues around you, your friends, your neighbors, your classmates around you. You meet every day. How come you're not sharing with them? And really not leading them to faith in Christ. Really, friends. So how do you go up? Let me give you some tips very quickly. All right. Firstly, pray. Everything starts with prayer, and all God's people say, pray first. Pray for your colleagues regularly, classmates, your friends, your neighbors. Pray for them. Keep on praying for them. Okay? Secondly, friends, build friendships and relationships. Go out for lunches with them, because we all do eat, and all those people who do eat say, well, only 50% eat. God bless you. The rest of you don't eat at all. Okay? I know you're such spiritual people in DMC. You fast and pray all the time. Okay? Please do that some more. All right? Okay? But we all do eat, isn't it? And so, friends, you know, make time. Go for lunches together. Two or three, go out together. You know what happens? After a while, you'll know who are more open for deeper conversations, isn't it? All right? But not only just pray, not only build friendships, but show love towards them. Maybe you could say, today you cannot come up for lunch with me. Then can I tap out something for you? All right? Can I bring something back for you? All right? Or when a person is sick in the hospital, go and visit that person. When a person's family members are sick in the hospital, go and visit the family members. And then at the end, is it okay if I pray for you? Just offer. See what happens. You know, friends, can I say, when people are sick, they all chisei already. They all chisei, they all realize already, isn't it? Why? Because we realize how weak we are, how much help we need. And we all need help, especially divine help from God Himself, isn't it? And so, friends, show love. All right, do acts of kindness with our colleagues and our friends. And then, friends, the key is this. How do I turn my ordinary conversations into spiritual conversations so that my faith comes up so I can share Jesus with them? How do I go about doing this? So that's the struggle that I find many of us have. Let me give you some tips. So how do we go about doing this? For example, with our colleagues at work, we can talk about just work itself. Just work itself. Say your colleague, "Hi, John, what is it you enjoy working here?" Just ask him. Listen, let him share. That guy might just say, "No, I don't like working here. Okay, I hate this." Then, "John, why are you here? You're wasting your time, your life away." Okay, so let John share whatever he likes about working here. Then after you share, then turn it around. Turn around and say, "John, what is one challenge you face working here?" Listen, after John has shared, then you share, "John, you know what? I was given this assignment. Actually, it can be done. But you know, the deadline was so short, you know, by this common boss are so short, it's almost impossible. John, as a result, I prayed like crazy and finally I got it done." You know, so you see, I prayed like crazy. So your faith has come out. "Hey, John, by the way, I'm a Christian." "Are you a Christian, by the way, John?" You know, it comes out just naturally like this. Or you can talk about, "Okay, John, talk about health. Hey, John, wow, you look solid and strong. What do you do to keep fit and healthy?" Let John share, then you share. "For me, John, I'm not so healthy. I run up the hill. I almost reach heaven as a result running with Pastor Daniel together." "Okay, John, okay. You know, one day I was not well. I went to see a doctor. And the doctors, after a whole battery of tests, say to me, 'Hey, Michael, I'm sorry to tell you, you got cancer.' The moment the doctor said that, John, you know, my world fell apart. I became frightened. I was stunned. I was fearful. I could not sleep. I went into depression." And John, you know, really out of that, I began to seek the meaning and the purpose for life. And out of that, actually, I came to faith in Jesus Christ. That's how I became a Christian. I'm still today alive, I believe, sustained by the grace of Christ. I don't know how long I live, but I trust Jesus. At least right now, I got peace of heart and mind. The fear has been removed. Why? Because in Jesus Christ, who has defeated death, I know there is a trust and faith. There is a security assurance. There is a confidence and a hope for the future. So at least I know my fears, my whatever has been removed. I can trust in Him about the length of life that He will allow me to live. So John, are you a Christian? Well, you're not a Christian, John. Be smarter than me, la. Don't wait until you've got a crushed hammer hitting down on me, then become a Christian. Be smarter, la. What about now? Can I pray for you, John? don't wait some more lah. Because cancer might just hit you. No, don't say that. Some people need to be frightened into heaven. Hello, are you there? Isn't it? Very important for you to share. So talk about work, talk about health, talk about holidays. You can talk about so many things. You can talk about, very simply, children, isn't it? Who would like to tell? So send your kids here. Just in fact, yesterday we went for Maya's kindergarten concert. We met with Maya's classmates' parents. Share with them. Here's my card. You know, we run a great children's church here, and we bring Maya here as well. Why don't you bring your daughter to come along with Maya? It'd be a great place to have whatnot. Reach out to share with them. It's so many ways to connect. Or very, very simply this: ask your friend, "Hey, my friend John, what do you do by the way during weekends?" Just ask your, "What do you do by the way?" And after you share, isn't it? "Hey, by the way, John, during weekends, actually, I go to church. I go to this amazing place called Dream Center where all your dreams will come alive if you join me as well. It is called the Definitely Unusual Methodist Church. You come. It'll be fantastic and great." So just like that, connect. You know what I mean? Very, very important, okay? And then extend invitation or challenge. After sharing, just ask your friend, "Would you like to trust in Jesus?" That guy said, "Thank you very much. No thanks, I'm not ready." Then say, "Can I pray for you?" He said, "Can I just pray for you for God's blessings?" Isn't it? If you're smart guys, okay, like Malaysians and old here this morning, we want to say yes to any kind of prayer. Hello? Especially when we're Christian, isn't it? So just now this morning, challenged this guy. He said, "Pastor, not yet." I said, "Don't waste time. No, I didn't say that. I said, "Nice." I said, "Can I pray for you?" After the prayer, "Pastor, thank you. It was a great prayer, wonderful." Of course, we always pray good, wonderful prayers in UMC. Hello, isn't it? All right? Extend invited challenge. See what happens. If they say, no, thanks, not ready yet, okay, "Can I just pray for you?" Just offer prayer. Finally, friends, when they do accept Christ as Lord and Savior, ensure discipleship takes place. We must right away start. We follow up this, we discipling them. Let me close with this. Yesterday, a couple at the end of the worship celebration came up to me. And a gentleman came up to me and said, "You recognize me?" I looked at him. I say, "I don't recognize you from Adam's days, you know, sorry." But I look again very carefully. "Hey, I know, you're Lim Cheng Heng, all right? Because what he told me, I'm 1 year your junior." "Of course I know, you're Lim Cheng Heng. My goodness, okay, from the great hometown of Aitawa, where also Pastor Key and Pastor Eng Lee come from." He said, yeah. I say, "Okay, great, and who's she?" "Oh, this is my wife, Dorothy." Great to meet you both. Wonderful, fantastic, okay. Talk. After that, I say, "Hey, where do you live?" "Melbourne." "We're back just on holiday." "How long have you been?" "But over 30 years already." "Great, wonderful, okay. And you know me, straight away, I waste no time." "Hey, what church you go to in Melbourne?" This guy, Lim Cheng Heng was, "I caught you now, okay. Miss, you don't know. Miss." Imagine, he was with us in a youth fellowship. I was hardly in a youth fellowship because why? I was a non-believer at that point in time that even Pastor Key don't share Jesus with me. What kind of friend is he? You know what I mean? But never, I struggled along. And he was actually, you know, in a youth fellowship. He was, I believe, also at one point even chairman of the youth fellowship. Something like this, I think. What is it? Yes or no? That's or not? Kind of. What kind of? Kind of. There's no kind of Christian. Hello? Isn't it? Either you are or not. Isn't it? Not kind of Christian, all right? So couldn't tell me. I said, "Hey, my friend, you know, today, serious matter. Out of 7 billion people, God bring you to here to meet me. Is it okay? Want to lead you to faith in Christ? Explain the 4 steps involved. Is it okay?" The wife said yes, right away. How can I slap him nicely? How can your wife say yes? You should be taking the lead. Okay. Led them both in prayer. And what a joy to welcome you to the family of God. Friends, there are more people waiting for you and I to reach out to them to share Jesus and see them being touched by the Lord Jesus Christ. And a wonderful, I say, "Where do you live in Melbourne?" He says, "Wontana." I say, "I know that place. In fact, the church where my friend pastors is just up the road." He said, "Yeah, I know. Many friends might go to that church." "Are you stupid fellow? Such a good church, don't go somewhere. How can I tell?" Okay. He said, "My friends go there." "Now go lah yourself." He said, "The church is all up the road." Crazy guy, you know. Have none experienced some grace of God in their younger days. Have all abandoned and gone stray like this, friends. God wants to do something. Amen. Hello. And let's be available to God to reach out to serve Him. Don't waste your time. Time passes by faster than you realize. And before you realize, 60s, 70s, 80s, it could just be over, my friends. Make every minute count for Jesus at whatever our age. Amen. Let us pray. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to extend an invitation. Maybe to some of us here, we have not known Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And my friend, if you have not known Jesus as Lord and Savior, I want to say to you, I want to plead with you, actually. Knowing Jesus is just amazing. It is really so amazing that how can anyone not really embrace Him? It's a simple step of faith. Acknowledge we're a sinner. Believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. Thirdly, ask Him forgive. Fourthly, invite Him in our lives as Lord and Savior. And that simple step, friends, can I say, it is a radical step. It is a life-changing step. You and I will never, ever be the same again, I guarantee you. Multitudes of us here in this auditorium can testify to that. What a wonderful change and difference. What meaning and purpose. What direction and vision. What destiny that God has designed for you and I, my friends. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, you've never taken the step of faith to trust in Christ as Lord and Savior. My friend, make today the greatest of all days, almost an epoch-making moment for your life, my friends. Like 500 years ago, what Martin Luther did. So if you're not, you'd like to, at a count of three, wherever you're seated, would you raise up your hand? I want to pray for you. Are you ready? At a count of three. You'd like to raise up hand, would you? One, two, and three. Is anyone? All right, anyone? Downstairs first. Let me scan across. Keep your hands high up, would you? So I can see. I want to pray for you. Is anyone here? Anyone here? This morning? Anyone upstairs? I trust, my friends, that all of us do know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. My friend, let's make a commitment together to reach out to serve Jesus. And it just sends some of us, God is speaking to us about making our life count. Really, my friends, don't squander, don't waste away every single moment, minute, days, weeks, and months. If you do something, it's just gone and wasted. You'll never recover anymore. Make it count by touching, heart changing, and reaching out to serve people. Make it count, my friends. And so for these, the many of you niggas really want to desire, Lord, help me, Lord, renew me, Lord, fill me, Lord, empower me. He wants to do it. If it is, I want to ask you to stand wherever you are. I want to pray for God's grace and powering to be released upon you. You like to do that, including those who are serving already in the life of the church. And serving in church doesn't mean only within the four walls of the church. Serving in church could be outside the four walls of the church. You can serve the Lord in the marketplace, serving the Lord in the world of education, serving the Lord in sports and whatever. You're really out there, intentionally bearing witness for Jesus, really reaching out to serve Jesus in the name of Jesus. If you're doing that, my friends, all right, would you stand? All right, I'm going to pray for you. And others of you, you want to make a commitment. Lord, help me. Some of you are not sure. Some of you are not serving. Would you stand and make a commitment? I want to challenge you, my friends. Make it count for Jesus. Life passes by very, very fast, friends. In the twinkling of an eye, 10 years, 20 years, 50 years, 80 years would have gone past. Would you stand? I want to pray for you all. Those who make a commitment, you will stand. And those already serving, would you stand as well to join these people as we make a commitment, my friends. Make it count for Jesus, church. Make it count. So important, my friends. Really. Zip by. And that's why I tell people, my friends, it's so important to remind ourselves. And one of the most powerful means of reminder, is what? It's to go and visit cemeteries. I tell people, go and visit cemeteries, but don't go there every day, okay? But once in a while, go and visit cemeteries. So important. Why is it so important to visit cemeteries? Three powerful things. Firstly, friends, it tells about mortality in life. We're mortal beings, we don't live forever. So it tells us of mortality in life. Secondly, it tells us of brevity of life. How short life is. 50 years, 70 years, 80 years, even 100, 120 years. What is that compared to all of eternity? And because, friends, of mortality in life and brevity of life, third and final, friends, mix it up for Christ. Third thing is urgency for life. We must be really urgent for life and living, my friends. Make it count for Jesus. Make it radically something different and wonderful and powerful. Would you raise up your hands to God, those who are upstanding? Let me pray for you all. Father, I bring all these, my brothers and sisters, to you. Spirit, come and fill them with the power of the Spirit, O God. Fill each one of these, Father, I pray, with the power, with the Holy Spirit. And renew and re-energize every one of us, Father, I pray. Renew, re-energize every one of us with greater passion, commitment, and joy in serving you, O God, I pray. That, Father, I pray, every one of us, O God, will make our time, our life count for you and your kingdom and your purpose, Father, I pray. Time passed by very fast. past, oh God. For some of us, in a twinkling of an eye, 6 years have gone past, 7 years have gone past. Others of us may have many more years to go. Father, I pray for every one of us, oh, let us not make our life, oh God, our Father, let us not make our life of no use whatsoever, of no blessing to people. Help us, oh Father, I pray, that our life will count for you in your kingdom, oh God. Life is short, time is precious, Father, I pray. You will help each one of us, oh God, to really live for you and the purpose of the kingdom, oh God, to invest rightly. Invest not in things, not in properties, not in possessions, oh God, not in power, not in position, but invest in lives, precious lives. Oh God, I pray, Father. Lord, we long for everyone to go to join us in heaven together, Father, I pray. Lord, give us an urgency, Father, urgency wherever we are. And so I pray, oh God, for all these, my brothers and sisters, in the places of work and responsibility, amongst our colleagues, amongst our friends, amongst our workmates, amongst our classmates, amongst our neighbors, amongst our relatives, Father, I pray, use each one of these, oh God, to invest rightly and properly and to make it count. Help all my brothers and sisters, Father, I pray, to know how to turn conversations, ordinary conversations, into spiritual conversations, so that our faith will come. So we simply bear witness to our faith, just in a very simple manner, bear witness to our faith, and you will be pleased, Father, I pray, you will be pleased to take whatever we share, make it come alive to our friends, our neighbors, our colleagues, our relatives. Make it come alive, Father, I pray, so that, oh God, it will really, really make an eternal difference to their lives. So help us all, Father, I pray. Help us all, God, I ask our Father. Thank you, Lord.